The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm honored to have Ron Rohde here today with us. Ron, how are you, sir?
Living the dream, living the dream.
Great to hear. Great to hear. Thanks for joining us today. And for those that are maybe new listeners here, I want to remind everyone here on Real Estate Unsuccess Stories, our goal is to provide real world examples of the real estate industry and things that maybe all don't always go according to plan. How did the folks that are telling our stories, like Ron, give us a little bit of insight into what happened and how they learned from it and what they took away from those experiences. So Ron, before we jump into all that, if you don't mind, giving us just a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. You know, I love doing these and meeting new people. So I'm based in Dallas, Texas, pretty much born and raised here, went away for school and law school and working. But I always knew that I wanted to raise a family. So I dragged my wife back to Dallas and we made Dallas, Texas our home. That said, I'm a commercial real estate attorney during the day. I have my own practice. We've got some staff and associates that work together on commercial real estate. So we do acquisitions, dispositions, and leasing. You know, we really help to support our clients, not just during the acquisitions or fundraising, but then the maintenance or operations of the property as well. Licensed in Texas and Florida, but we do deals nationwide. And that really has, you know, been part of me growing up with parents and family. All of our family is in real estate. So it's been very natural to own and rent out real estate. But yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, perfect. Well, yeah, again, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate the time. I know it's incredibly valuable with everything you got going on. And I know, but right before we hit record, we were talking a little bit and you had kind of some interesting backgrounds with things that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis at the law firm. And I thought, you know, some of those stories would probably be pretty good for our audience. So if you want to kind of set the stage for anything that you've seen in the real estate game from a legal perspective around things that could go wrong when you're dealing with these types of aspects and different deals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that in real estate, it's a lot like a business and it's not a question of if things go wrong, but when, and do you have the, you know, the team members, the experience, or maybe mentors to guide you through how to react to certain things, because it's life and life's messy and things are going to happen. You can't just assume that everything is going to work perfectly every time. But, you know, fortunately, my clients have really gone through the spectrum of, you know, deals falling out of contract, due diligence revealing, you know, massive differences in what they expected. So I think those are some of the more common ones. Financing, pulling out at the last minute, and understanding what your options are there. You know, and that's each of those issues by itself can turn into a dispute, a disagreement. And then you have, you know, the contractual provisions, and then you may end up in court. And nobody wants to be filing a lawsuit these days, but it may end up in court. And so that's kind of the approach that I take. Everything that we do, how will this look if we're in front of a judge or a jury trying to argue our case for X millions of dollars?
Well, I would imagine, as you said, no one wants to file a lawsuit, especially these days. We want to try to alleviate that. So when you find yourself in some of these pickles, if you will, I would imagine when your clients, it inevitably happens, like you said, what are some good things to think about to help prevent you from having to go to court or to file that lawsuit? Anything come to mind that would help prevent that type of thing?
Yeah, I think the number one difference for disputes, or, you know, I'll call them disagreements, is communication. If you don't communicate early and often with your broker, with your lawyer, you know, maybe give permission for your lawyer to talk to their lawyer, things will break down. And I almost guarantee you the other side is going to assume the worst possible mindset or position that you're taking. And that may not be the case. You know, you have options A, B, and C, and you're really considering A and B, which maybe work out for the seller and it's close enough. But if you're radio silent and you let, you know, unfortunately, even just a couple of days, if you let something sit Monday and Tuesday, and they've reached out on Monday and they reached out on Tuesday and you don't respond Friday, that's a serious delay that they're going to be preparing. And their lawyer is going to say, look, if you haven't heard from them and you don't believe them, they're preparing a lawsuit. They're going to file. You need to preemptively file. So you get to set the parameters. And people get to assume the worst because they've got to protect themselves. So communication, I think, is the number one thing. People get a little bit scared. They get cautious. They get more conservative. And they say, let me think about it. Let me evaluate all my options. Let me talk to this person. Let me get an answer from this person. And I get it. There's a little bit of that. But as soon as you have a little bit enough of actionable decision-making information, convey that to the other side in a transaction, because you know, sure, you're working in good faith to a resolution, versus, you know, like you're already in litigation, you don't need to be as friendly. But
and I would imagine it goes to what you're saying too, is, you know, when you're talking about communication, it's probably best to seek the advice of your attorney and understand what the right type of communication is, the frequency, that sort of thing, and really trust their legal background and experience and judgment in those situations. Being married to a lawyer, I know that, you know, that's incredibly important, but I would imagine what you see, the clients that maybe don't, that find themselves maybe in more trouble than not if they're not taking your advice around communication.
Yeah, absolutely. I think taking my counsel, you know, I think I have great opinions for everything, but I'm just one opinion in the seed. There's a lot of business type decisions. Your reputation in the market is huge. You know, people always talk about the takes a lifetime to build a reputation and just one transaction to kind of undo that. And you'll be notorious for that guy who did X. And if everybody else in your market disagrees with you doing X, it's going to be tough. You know, you're going to have to dig yourself out of a hole to try to prove it if you're concerned about those types of things, but it's definitely common. So yeah, definitely talk to your lawyer, talk to your broker, your lender, your other partners.
So that's interesting. You mentioned, so partners and understanding the different team aspects and how you build that. One thing I did want to ask you is your lawyer, it may not be an official member of your organization, may not be an official team member in your business, but they are crucial to the overall team and being successful. So if there are folks listening to this, obviously, you know, I would imagine, you know, you're fantastic. You know, you have a great reputation. A lot of people should definitely look at you from a legal perspective. But if they're looking at lawyers, whether they be local or national, what are things that they should be looking for or asking when evaluating lawyers to be part of that team?
Yeah, I should probably do like a YouTube video on questions to ask your lawyer. But I think it's really important, you know, that you need to educate yourself a little bit on the legal structures, the legal consequence, common contracts that you may want your lawyer to review. And when you go into that interview, have a kind of a predefined list of questions, use the right vocabulary, and kind of, I would say quiz them, but push it back on them and say, hey, you know, should we do a DST fund? Or, you know, have you worked with syndicators who do, you know, Reg D 506B? And depending on their answer, you will know, or you'll get a sense of whether they're an expert in commercial real estate or they specialize it versus, you know, if that's the type of attorney you're looking for. But I think asking those questions will, and being consistent across, will really highlight whether the attorney you're working with does this all the time and this is, you know, what they do. And also too, if they decline, you know, I think that's also a pretty strong hallmark, is if you go to an attorney, you know, especially for real estate, and you start asking them, hey, can you do this, you know, fund formation side? Hey, can you do this capital raise? Hey, can you do these LLC formations? Yeah, okay, we're still okay. Can you review my PSA? Yeah, okay. Can you review my loan docs? We're touching on so many different specialties. I think that you want maybe a firm that can do it all, but at the same time, you don't want just one guy to do all of those pretty specialized areas. And so if they can turn down and say no certain things are not within my expertise, but I have a guy, or there's a part of my firm that does that. That's a key distinction between a lawyer that thinks they can do everything and having that partner that's really going to be able to say no, because, you know, we're human. I want to help people. It's a natural tendency to want to say yes, but I also recognize my own limitations, and, you know, I'm not going to court. I don't do litigation. Even the smallest case, if my client says, "Hey, Ron, we just filed this little bitty lawsuit," no such thing as a small lawsuit. I'm gonna point them in the right direction. So I have those connections, but that's, you know, I think hiring your lawyer is critical, especially for a lot of these people who are trying to make off-market deals. So if you're trying to find an off-market deal and you're not using a broker, how do you raise your credibility? How do you increase the odds of the seller or the seller's broker looking at your offer? And I think that's by putting team members around you that do have that credibility, and you're kind of riding a little bit on their coattails. So whether that's your lender, whether that's your engineers or your vendors who are all lined up, you know, your law firm, your lawyer obviously can be a communication, but all of those people, even your CPA, right? All of those people present a cohesive ecosystem. So if you don't have the broker reputation to lead with because you want to do this kind of off market, you got to build up the other areas.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I think so many of us, without the knowledge going into it, think lawyers are lawyers. And, you know, we don't understand that there are specialties and there are skill sets. And many times I know lawyers specialize and have to take extra, you know, extra courses, extra, they have to actually go get extra degrees to specialize in some of these fields. And so it is vitally important to make sure that you have somebody that does understand all the aspects to protect yourself and your business. To your point, it just one thing can ruin any set of reputation you've had leading up to that. So for those that are maybe starting to get into this again, and you talked about interviewing the lawyer and thinking about that, any good place to find resources or to do some of that research that maybe they're not familiar with right now, but can get familiar with to prep and ask those types of questions to their potential lawyer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. I don't know that there is a single, you know, national registry, or it's not like MLS or CCIM kind of standard. You can kind of search a directory. But, you know, I say go online and just, you know, you want to Google and then YouTube.
YouTube's great.
YouTube is great. You know, it ultimately comes down to the relationship between that person and the lawyer. But YouTube as a foundation for learning, I think, is unparalleled. And you can get a wealth of information. There's tons of great lawyers, great CPAs that are on YouTube. There's different web forums, you know, Bigger Pockets we talked about is really popular. I think more on the residential side, but still doing some big commercial deals. And there are people with real assets, real equity, doing big deals on Bigger Pockets and other internet sources. But then other than that, you know, asking around and just getting started somewhere. So I think if you're listening to this podcast, that's one string, and feel free to reach out to myself and I can give you a recommendation for somebody so you can start piecing together those referrals, and you'll have to build your own ecosystem based on your connections. But you've got one right here, and I know people in, say, all 50 states, but almost all. And go. I'm happy to refer, you know.
Perfect. Well, and I think that echoes what we've heard from some other guests too, is that this community in the real estate is really helpful to helping other folks that are maybe just getting started or looking for experts. Bigger Pockets has been excellent to find that type of stuff, but also leveraging your existing ecosystem to branch out and find other things that maybe need to be specialized in your thing. Ron, I think that's a good point ever. That's a lot of great knowledge for our audience. I truly, truly appreciate the time and setting aside and coming and talking to us today. For those that maybe want to chat with you or follow up with you, what's the best place to find you and how could they get in contact with you?
Best way is on my website, ronaldrohdelaw.com, ronaldrohdelaw.com. You can fill out a form or you can just book a direct, you know, I got that Calendly app. So book a time with me. I'm happy to chat. Otherwise, you can look for my YouTube, Ronald Rohde Law, and I try to post more helpful videos like this.
Perfect. Well, Ron, again, thank you so much. Truly, truly appreciate the time and everything today.
Thanks, Cody.
Absolutely. We'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.